This is the New England Patriots Roster Report Podcast on Patriots.com. The Roster Report Podcast is presented by Sullivan Tire and Bridgestone Tires. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Sullivan Tire Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday, January 25th here at Gillette Stadium. Welcome to, unfortunately, the first off-season edition of the Patriots.com Roster Report Podcast presented by Sullivan Tire. I'm joined by Paul Perillo. This is Andy Hart, and we're here to start talking, unfortunately, about things like free agency, futures contracts, and the draft, because I'm sure you're all well aware the Patriots fell to the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC title game, and therefore this is not the bye week before the Super Bowl. This is the first week of the off season. But luckily, Paul, we actually have some moves to talk about. I'll start with the, you know, somewhat bookkeeping boring moves, and that is the Patriots signed on January 24th officially seven players to futures contracts. And I just want to explain real quickly, because our boss Fred Kirsch didn't know what that meant. These are players who were not under contract, and their contracts will take effect once the new league year begins. These are mostly young guys, practice squad type guys that basically wanted to secure employment with this team and plenty of other teams around the league. A lot of the teams that were out of the postseason announced a lot of these moves early January. So these are, I don't want to say camp bodies, but these are lower end of the roster guys who are looking to get their foot in the door. Better to do that sooner rather than later. They don't need to wait around for any big money signing bonuses or free agency or anything like that. The seven players were defensive end Marcus Bernard, running back James Devlin, wide receiver Jeremy Ebert, wide receiver Andre Holmes, quarterback Mike Kafka, defensive lineman Tracy Robertson, and linebacker Jeff Tarpinian. Now, obviously, five of those guys were practice squatters here in New England at some point. The interesting one, I think, is Bernard. And it's Bernard, not Bernard. I may have said that incorrectly the first time, but B-E-N-A-R-D. 27, is a veteran of three NFL seasons with the Browns, 6'2", 256-pounder. He's a defensive end, was a rookie free agent in Cleveland out of Jackson State, has 25 games under his belt with two starts and 11.5 sacks, two passes defensed. So a guy with a little bit of experience, and obviously Kafka, the quarterback, was a former fourth-round pick by the Eagles out of Northwestern in 2011, played in four games as a rookie, and he's a guy that's been rumored with the Patriots, it seems like, popped up a few different times.
Yeah, he did.
Worked out, I think, once, and kind of been on the periphery of the team.
After they got rid of Brian Hoyer last year, you're absolutely right. He was sort of, for a week or so there, he was rumored to be coming in to join Ryan Mallett in the backup parade.
So he is the third guy throwing the football around as they head into whenever spring and summer workouts begin, passing camps and all that. More interestingly, though, based on how you read it from other media sources and sort of the scouting report on this guy, Patriots have signed Armand Armstead, most recently of the CFL, where he was a member of the All-League team as a rookie there, his only season north of the border, as they say. And he's a former USC player, played three seasons at USC, and then had a heart issue, sued the school. He was ineligible to play. He claims the heart issue came from the use of Toradol, a painkiller. And I believe the legal issues are still pending. But in terms of football, some people are deeming this. Adam Schefter said this is basically like signing a high draft pick prior to the draft. I know the GM from the Toronto Argonauts, where he played last year, thinks this guy was a, you know, first, second round type talent. He had six sacks last year for the Argos. He's 22 years old. He is, where is his, 6'5", 300-pounder, essentially, tackle end type, maybe an interior pass rusher. And I know, Paul, you're a guy that wanted a Jonathan Finene type.
Yeah.
This is a young version of that. I'm not saying he's, you know, expected to come in and have nine sacks or be an impact guy, but are you intrigued by this signing?
Yeah, I am. I think it's an interesting situation. You sort of went over all the nuts and bolts. He wasn't allowed to play. He wasn't cleared to play at USC, so he did not play his last year there, and then subsequently applied for the draft, wasn't drafted, didn't even get signed by as an undrafted free agent, which I thought was a little surprising because I think there's plenty of ways to work around the medical there. You sign a waiver and whatnot, but obviously teams weren't convinced that that was worth it in terms of the risk. And then he went up to Canada and played pretty well. And I'm intrigued by what Adam Schefter said. By the way, before the Patriots signed him, he made that comment
yes.
that it was like a high draft pick. So it's not like, you know, Adam Schefter has been pretty close to this organization. It's not like there was some nepotism involved there.
No, and that was back when the Colts,
yeah.
Eagles, Patriots, few other, Browns
Cleveland
maybe,
might have been in there. Yeah.
were supposedly kicking the tires on him.
And in addition to that, our buddy Mike Reese on ESPNBoston.com has added a little bit of a wrinkle. It's a three-year contract that he signed. Modest base salaries each year, but evidently the Patriots have guaranteed the base salary in his first year and about half of the base salary in the second year. So altogether, about $655,000. Now, that doesn't sound like a whole lot, but for a guy that is just the average run-of-the-mill, as you said, street free agent futures contract guy, I don't think you're guaranteeing anything.
Right.
Clearly, you mentioned, Andy, the teams that were sort of in the running. This would be an indication that that's legit. There was some competition to sign this guy. I'm intrigued. I think they do need an interior guy that might be able to collapse the pocket. Who knows? Maybe this is the guy.
And it's a different time of year, but it's a little bit similar to the Jeff Demp signing, where it's a street free agent. It's a guy who wasn't with anybody for sort of extenuating circumstances.
Correct.
And there was some competition to get him, and the Patriots won out in that competition. And both of these guys, I think, could be role players moving forward, certainly in the summer and practice preseason, and there's an opportunity to win more than that, to win regular season roles. So, yeah, the Patriots are going after these, I don't know if it's one, you know, a lucky ticket or, you know, a lottery type thing where they're hoping to hit the jackpot with a low investment, but.
Can't win if you don't play, Andy.
That's right. And, you know, they were willing to invest a little bit to get this guy. You know, I know a lot of people are saying, well, Cameron Wake came from Canada.
Yeah. Well,
pump the brakes on that one, because Cameron Wake was a 2-time defensive player of the year in Canada, dominated that league, and then came down here and obviously is turning himself into a defensive player of the year type candidate in the NFL with 40 sacks in his first 3 years or whatever the numbers are. So, you know, he's somewhere between a jag nobody off the street and, you know, the perfect situation would be Cameron Wake. I know there was another guy the Colts signed last year, Jarrell Freeman, who played for them, had 100 tackles, was a good player
starting
for them.
Linebacker for
so, you know, maybe this is becoming a little more common, using Canada as sort of an outlet for guys that, it, you know, for whatever reason, it isn't the usual college to the NFL direct process. So I think it's interesting. And I'm always interested in guys that go to USC and places like that, because at some
Absolutely.
Point they were elite athletes. They were the best of the best in this country on the football field.
Yeah,
from
it's
high
not
school
like
to
he
college.
Didn't pan out at USC.
No,
he
started, I think,
USC.
17 games, you know, had sacks, yeah. was, you know, sort of, he was on that path to being a high draft pick. When you start for 2 or 3 years at USC, you end up getting drafted generally pretty high in the draft. He was on that path, kind of, you know, speed bump, and I don't know what role the lawsuit and the Toradol played in him maybe getting kept out of the NFL for a year till he proved himself, whatever. But it's about as intriguing an addition as you can get at this time of year when
yeah.
the season's still going on. So you can't sign actual free agents and you're just sort of buffering your roster and your bodies here in futures contracts.
And I'm not going to lower expectations for the Sullivan Tyer Roster Report podcast going forward, but I have a feeling this may be a high-end version of the Sullivan Tyer offseason,
you know.
Especially before we get into the draft and the combine and stuff and some observations from some of these college kids. Right now, at this time of year, that's a good signing. That's a good signing to sink your teeth into. Armand Armstead.
I'll throw a little tease out there. Maybe next week we'll look at the draft picks the Patriots have heading into April's Selection Sunday or Selection Weekend. And maybe we'll talk about the guys that are going to be pending free agents and how many there are, who the prime targets are. But we'll leave that for next Friday. For now, it's about Armand Armstead and a young, athletic, formerly elite USC-type player who's been injected into the Patriots' defensive line mix with guys like Justin Francis, Jermaine Cunningham, Vince Wilfork, Kyle Love, Brandon Dedrick. Competition should be good on the line next year. Competition to get on this podcast probably won't be so good next Friday. Won't be a lot of transactions, but we will be back each and every Friday of the offseason to update you on all the goings-on in terms of transactions for the Patriots. For Paul Perillo, I'm Andy Hart. This is another Patriots.com Roster Report podcast presented by Sullivan Tyer.
Peace out.
This has been the Sullivan Tyer Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Bridgestone Tires, available at over 60 Sullivan Tyer locations across New England. Visit SullivanTyer.com/Bridgestone today.